Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. We lift up the name of Jesus, who is always worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. Thank you for another opportunity to share your word, to be in your word, to be in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, bless your hearts. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible class, Bible teaching. And get your Bible and or your electronic device, get a pen and paper. We're going to really have a very strengthening and encouraging time in the Word today. And let me just say this even before or as I begin. Tonight I want to be a little bit more specific in terms of showing you and telling you what I feel God has in my heart for you today. I want to exhort you tonight. You know, there's preaching, there's teaching, there's prophesying, there's declaring, decreeing, and so forth. But there's also exhortation is a means and a method that God ministers to us. And so tonight, I want to exhort you. I have a message of exhortation. And I don't know how far we'll go, how long we'll go. It may take 10, 15, 20 minutes. I don't know. But I believe if you stick with us, and I want you to call someone and tell them to tune in because they're going to be exhorted today. Well, what does exhortation mean? Exhortation is the act. It's the act of urging someone to do something. Exhortation is the act of urging somebody to do something, obviously good. We're talking about the kingdom. So another way that you might think about exhortation is motivational speaking. I'm gonna ask the Lord, as I have been asking Him, to anoint me to motivate you like never before today. So get your Bible again and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to read verse number 3, Isaiah chapter 26, King James, and verse number 3. Are you ready? I'm going to read that. We're going to pray. I'm ready. All right, Isaiah 26, 3, and the Bible reads, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I read that again. "Thou wilt keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." I'm going to minister and exhort you tonight with a message entitled "The Peace of God." The peace of God. Father, I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege. I thank you for the anointing, the calling. I thank you for enabling me by your Spirit to do what my assignment is tonight. So let people be encouraged. Let them be strengthened. Let them be encouraged and urged to do what it is the times require all of us to do. So you, Holy Father, you, Lord Jesus, can get all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Isaiah says, God will keep the person in perfect peace. Peace, peace. Total peace. Total shalom. And we'll talk about what that means in a moment. Whose mind is stayed on thee because they trust in thee. A mind, write this down, a mind that stayed on Jesus is a mind that cannot be changed. A mind that stays on Jesus is a mind that cannot be changed. My God, think about that. A mind that stayed on Jesus is a mind that cannot be changed. No matter what happens in their life, you cannot change their mind concerning God. A person whose mind is stayed on Jesus knows that God can never and will never abandon them. I want you to write that down in the first person. I want you to write this down. I know that God will never abandon me. I know that. My mind is made up concerning what God thinks and says about me. This is where our peace comes from. I know God is not going to abandon me, no matter what I'm going through right now, no matter how bad the pandemic is impacting my family, me, family members of people I work with, family members of people in my neighborhood, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what the report is, I know my mind is made up. I know God is still with me. I know he's still on my side. I don't care what it looks like. My mind is made up. When I was a kid, we had plenty of songs that we used to sing about our minds being made up concerning God. I don't so much hear songs written and sung like that today, but I want you to know you still need to have a made up mind if you're going to have the peace of God. You just got to make up your mind that God is what he says he is in his word, and he means that when it comes to you and I, so that you can have the peace of God in your life, in your home. You got to have a made up mind. As dark as it may be, as bad as it may look, as horrible as you may feel, you've got to make up your mind. God is the same yesterday. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't matter what it looks like. My mind is made up. This is where you have to come to if you're not there. This is where we all have to come to if we're not there. We have to have made up minds. A made up mind, write this down, is a mind that has been persuaded. Yes, a made up mind is a mind that has been persuaded. What is persuasion? Persuasion is being won over by overwhelming evidence. I'm going to say that again. When you and I or anyone becomes persuaded, particularly in the kingdom, it's because you have been presented with overwhelming evidence. What do I mean? I know there's evidence of sickness, disease, death, poverty, unemployment, corona. I know there's evidence, but there's some overwhelming evidence. There's evidence stronger than what you're facing, stronger than what you're going through. It's overwhelming evidence. What is that overwhelming evidence? The overwhelming evidence is what the scripture says, that God, if he be for us, he's more than the world against us. I want you to be exhorted. I want you to begin to be strengthened even right now by these words. It's overwhelming evidence in your life. I'm beginning to see people that I know, members. I'm beginning to see some of you. I won't call your names out because I don't want others to feel excluded. This includes everyone. I know your situation. Some of you, I don't know. But the scripture yet still speaks to you and eye that no matter what evidence you're facing right now, no matter what the doctors have said to you over and over, no matter what the economy is saying, no matter what your boss has said, no matter what has gone on, and you've got evidence of things that are not working out for your good, there's overwhelming evidence that God always has delivered you. God has always rescued you. He's always saved you when you cried out for help. He's been there all the time because he said that he would never leave you, nor will he forsake you. So there's overwhelming evidence that you're going to come out of this too. Oh, somebody shout in your house. There's overwhelming evidence you're coming out of this as well. All I have tonight, hallelujah, is a word of exhortation. You got to become persuaded. You got to look at the overwhelming evidence. If you're over 50 and you've been saved 10 months, glory to God, there's overwhelming evidence God has been there all the time. And so now you need to just go ahead and make up your mind that you're going to receive the peace of God. Why should you worry? Why should you be upset? Why should you be coming apart? There's overwhelming evidence, my brother, my sister, that God will always deliver you. And we know, Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for the good. We're not hoping that they will. It's no maybe. We already know. There's overwhelming evidence that proves even bad things that happen, God will turn it around for your good. There's overwhelming evidence that as bad as it is now, it's going to get better. That's when the peace of God begins to sink in and take control over our situation. So make no mistake about it. I'm talking about people whose circumstances couldn't talk them out of them knowing God is on their side. Your circumstances can't talk you out. You know God is on your side. Your circumstances are speaking so loud, but they've not yet convinced you. Why? Because they can't convince you. Because there's overwhelming evidence that even your circumstances are about to change. Can I declare that over your life? Can I speak that into your life? Can I prophesy that into your life? That the circumstances cannot talk you out of what God has planned for you. Because he says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. The plans to prosper you, to give you a hope. If you feel hopeless right now, I want you to begin to receive the peace of God because you are persuaded because of the overwhelming evidence that God keeps showing in your life. Just lift your hands right there. Say, God, I thank you that you have overwhelming evidence. The enemy does have evidence. We're not ignoring the facts, but you have provided overwhelming evidence for me. Time and time again, you've always brought me out. I'm talking about people whose faith has always convinced them that they have the victory. Those are the kind of people that have the peace of God. Their faith already lets them know, I may look like I'm winning, but the fight is not over. And I know God always provides me with the victory. That's how you maintain the peace of God. That's how you maintain it. Stop running around here frantic. Stop having mood swings and up and down and here and there, and let the peace of God begin to rule in your heart and your mind, because you're persuaded and your mind is made up. God is still in control. I'm talking about people who let the word of God have the final say in their lives. These are the people that understand the peace of God. These are the people that don't feel the need to argue online with everybody about what's really going on and who's doing what and what's what and who's lying and who's deceiving. People like that, because see, people that know that God has the final say don't always have to talk. I'm talking about people like you and I. We've seen God too much to to let the circumstances change our minds. Write that down. Write it in the first person. I have seen God do too much. I have seen God do too much to let these circumstances change my mind. I got peace. Seen him do too much. If you're trying to convince me God is not for me, if you're trying to convince me God has abandoned me, you've come too late. Oh, bless his name. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says to Timothy, "For that which cause I suffer these things," or the reason I'm suffering these things, he says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Paul says, "I'm not ashamed to suffer." I think there's some believers that are ashamed to suffer. You've been led to believe that you're not supposed to go through any challenges. You've been led to believe you're not supposed to have any hardships. You've been led to believe you don't have enough faith if you can't pray this and that and the other away. Well, Paul says, I'm not ashamed to suffer for the cause of Christ. He says, "Nevertheless, I know whom I believe." He says, "I know who I believe. I know in whom I believe." His mind is made up. Paul came to a place where he really knew Jesus. Oh, let's go a little deeper if we can. Paul says, "I know whom I believe in." He goes on to say, "And I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed into his hands against that day." I know whom I believe, Paul says, "and I'm persuaded there's overwhelming evidence that my suffering is not the end of the story." Your suffering, my brother, your suffering, my sister, is not the end of the story. It's not the end of you. Oh, I feel this right now. I feel anointing on this for several people. Your suffering is not the end of you. It's not the end of your faith. It doesn't mean God has abandoned you. It doesn't mean that your story is over. It's just a part of you learning how to have the peace of God in every situation. This is what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. He's getting Tim ready for full-time ministry. He says, "Tim, I'm persuaded that God is able to keep, protect, and preserve what I have entrusted to him." God is able to keep you. God is able to protect you. And God is able to preserve you. This is what Paul is telling us, because Paul said, "I know whom I believe." Paul says, "I know Christ. I had heard about him before. Before I was converted, I had heard about him, but I didn't know him. I heard all the I heard all the things he could do, but I hadn't seen him do it for me. People were talking about him everywhere I went, but I didn't know him for myself." But Paul says, "Now I know Christ." Paul says, "I'm not just a fan." He's not just a research paper. I know Christ. I'm not just a casual believer. No. I have had a personal encounter with Jesus that changed my life forever. I'm telling somebody, I'm decreeing to somebody, I'm exhorting to somebody that you've been through enough already to know that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. And whatever you've gone through, he's always brought you out. So why not just rest right now in the peace of God, in what your mind has been made up about and what you have been persuaded by? Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. Paul says, "That I might know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering." Paul says, "I want to know Jesus beyond the good times, the miracles, the turning water into wine. I want to know him in his sufferings." Why did Paul say that? I'm glad you asked. Hear this and hear it well. People really can't know other people until they understand their pain. Say it again. People can't really know someone until you understand their pain. This whole social justice movement, which I believe is of God, so many things are happening. That's human nature around the world. But dare I say that until a white brother and sister sits down to learn about the pain of 400 years of slavery, 400 years of social injustice, and whatever other definition you want to put along with it that's suitable, you can't really know until you sit down and understand our pain. You can run out and do all kind of marches with us, and all, but you won't really understand until you understand our pain. See, that's what Jesus did. That's why God came down and put on flesh, so he could understand our pain. So he could minister to us and call himself our high priest that's touched with our infirmities. Jesus had to feel what we feel so that he could truly be our high priest. If a person, even in marriage, doesn't understand your pain, then they really don't know you. This is why intimacy is so important. And I'm not talking about just physical. I'm talking about spiritual and mental and emotional intimacy, where you let someone in so they can understand your pain, so they can really understand you, because they can't bring peace to you without understanding what causes your peace to go. Paul said, I want to know Jesus. I want to know why he suffered. Because I don't want to just be a fan of Jesus. I don't want to just sing only happy songs about Jesus. I don't want to just only sing or pray happy prayers about Jesus. Mm-mm. I really want to know him, because that's how I'm going to get the peace that I need to fulfill and complete my destiny. So Paul came to know Christ more intimately, excuse me, and deeply through what he suffered. So Paul says, I know whom I have believed, because I suffered more than all the other apostles. So I worked equally as hard. I understand some things that God will do for you when you suffer, when you're going through. I understand, Paul says, how God will show up. Even when Paul said, I had a thorn in my side, an angel from Satan that was sent to buffet me. And he said, I asked God 3 times to remove this from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. While you're going through, I'll show you how to come out. While you're in pain, I'll show you what the end of that pain looks like. I'll take you to glory. I'll take you to heaven. I'll cause you to forget about that pain. I'll do something so spectacular, something so marvelous, something so supernatural in your life that you'll forget all about that thorn. Even though it's still there and the pain is there, I'll supersede the pain with the glory. I'm talking to somebody. The glory is entering into your house, entering into your room right where you are now. And the peace of God is coming upon you and beginning to preserve you. You're not going to quit. You're not going to fail. You're not going to fall out and give up. The peace of God is going to undergird you. Psalm writer says, Psalm 119, 71. He says, it was good that I had to suffer in order to learn your laws. There's some learning that's going on right now that could never have taken place if you weren't in the place you're in right now. If you weren't in this space, the learning couldn't take place. So instead of looking at the problem, begin to think about what you're going to know, what you're going to learn, what God is doing in you, and what's going to happen to you when this is over. The glory that's going to be revealed. I want you to begin to think like that now, so that the peace of God can begin to come into your life right now. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I'm not ashamed to suffer for his name's sake. Because I know, I'm persuaded, there's overwhelming evidence he ain't going to let me fail. He's not going to let me fall. See, when most people see disturbance and disruption in your life, Paul says, I see more of God's hand in my life. It's all a matter of perspective. See, when most people focus on your test and your trial, Paul says, I'm focused on Jesus. So stop focusing on your test. Stop focusing on your pain and focus on Jesus. That's the key to entering into perfect peace. It's keeping our minds on Jesus. You got to turn that TV off sometime. You know more about Corona than Dr. Fauci. Come on, slow down. You need to stop focusing on Corona and focus on Jesus. You need to put your mind back on Jesus. You need to make up your mind that no matter what you're going through, I'm going to pray, I'm going to study the scriptures, I'm going to have personal worship services so I can keep my mind on Jesus. The world, the devil, the little g god of this world wants you and I, wants every believer to take our minds off Jesus and focus on the economy or politics or who somebody said this racial thing or somebody said this retarded thing or ridiculous thing. And that's the trick of the enemy, to steal your peace. But I say, peace be unto you. I speak the peace of God back into your life, because you're going to put your focus back on Jesus. Write it down in first person. I'm putting my focus back on Jesus. I'm putting my mind back on Jesus. Oh, stop with the statistics. Stop. Just stop for a moment and put your mind, oh yes, God, back on Jesus. Romans 8 and 38 and 39. And the Bible reads, Paul wrote this too. I am persuaded. Paul says there's overwhelming evidence. I am persuaded, he says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Goes on in verse 39 and say, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The only way that you can walk in that is if you have to have your mind made up. Your mind must be on Jesus. You must have been persuaded. There must be overwhelming evidence to prove what Paul just said. So the reason, my brother, my sister, the reason you can have peace is because death can't take it away. I'm talking to somebody. The reason you have peace, the peace of God, is because death can't even take it away. The reason you can have the peace of God is because nothing that happens in life can take it away. This is what Paul is saying. Nothing that happens in this life can take God's peace from me, because I know he loves me. Nothing that happens to you or I in life can take the peace of God from you, because nothing can separate you from his love. So just relax and rest in his peace right now, because he loves you right where you are. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, I want to exhort you and I want to tell you the peace of God is right there with you. It's right there. Paul goes on to say, the reason we can have this kind of peace is because no angel can take it. Not even an angel can take the peace of God from you. Then he goes on to say, the reason we also can have such peace is because not even principalities, powers, rulers in high places, spiritual authorities, none of them can take your peace. Did you hear what I said? Principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness and high places cannot take your peace, the peace of God, because God loves you. And I'm persuaded that he does. I'm persuaded that he loves me. Let me tell you something else. No creeps or creatures. Write that down. No creeps or creatures can mess with your peace. Stop letting creeps and creatures mess with your peace. Stop bringing up the crazy stuff people are doing today. It's all designed to rob you and I of the peace of God. Stop rehearsing the crazy stuff you heard somebody say to somebody or someone said to you that's on YouTube, Facebook, or whatever. Stop focusing on that. It's designed to steal your peace. And lastly, since I'm exhorting you, since this is a pep rally for the kingdom, glory be to Jesus. Yeah, this is a pep rally for the kingdom. Pastor Deborah probably retitled my message. Yes, right, that's the title of it. That's a pep rally for the kingdom. Well, amen. This is a pep rally for the kingdom. Amen. Let me say this to you. You listening? Are you listening? Listening? Okay, good, good. Listen, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. I know the pain is real. I know the situation is overwhelming, but there's overwhelming evidence from the kingdom that God is for you. So receive his peace. Receive his love. There's overwhelming evidence in your own life. He's always healed you. Oh God, hallelujah. I just some healing going out right now, just for your physical body. I just speak healing right now into somebody's life. I just exhort you in the name of Jesus that peace, the peace of God, is going to come into your house even now. Come into your mind even now. Come into your body. Come into your spirit and begin to minister healing to your physical body. In the name of Jesus, receive his peace now. Ah, yes, receive his peace now. Because you're one of his children and he loves you. Jesus says in John 14:27, my brother, my sister, peace I leave with you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Another wave. It's just coming in waves. It's just like the soaking rain. Jesus said, my peace leave I with you. My peace, Jesus says, I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm telling you now, the peace of God is pushing out the trouble that's been in your heart. The peace of God is pushing out the confusion. I don't know how I'm going to make it. How is this going to happen? How are we going to get this done? What's going to happen because of this? I don't have insurance anymore. I don't care if you don't have any medical insurance. The peace of God will minister health to you. It will minister health to your mind, body, soul, and spirit. This is what Jesus says. He says, my peace, my shalom, I leave with you. Shalom is total health and wealth. Write that down. Total health and wealth. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wherever you need God to minister to you, I pray, I say, I declare and exhort to you, the peace of God is ministering right to that spot. See, somebody needs physical healing. Someone else may need physical and financial. Some may need healing in their marriage, in their family, being cramped together so long. I say, peace be unto you right in the middle of that situation in the name of Jesus. That's the peace Jesus leaves. Total health and wealth. What is health? Health, write this down, is healing wherever you need it. That's what health is. Health is healing. I speak healing to your heart. I'm not just your heart in terms of your your spirit heart or the spirit of your mind. I'm speaking healing to your physical heart. Somebody needs healing in their physical heart. I speak peace to your irregular heartbeat. I speak peace in the name of Jesus to your heart. Healing. I speak that over your life. Healing wherever you need it.
healing wherever you need it.
Healing wherever you need it. Yes, Lord, I feel that right now. Healing wherever you need it. Hey, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Healing wherever you need it. Healing wherever you need it. Wherever you need it, receive it. And let the peace of God come upon you. Healing wherever you need it. Healing wherever you need it. See, healing is what enables the body, mind, and spirit to function at its highest level. See, it's time for you to function at the next level. That's why you have to be healed. You cannot be sick now. You have to be healed. You have to function. You have to operate at your optimum level because God has need of you. I speak healing to you now. Shalom is health and wealth. Total health and wealth. What is wealth? Wealth, watch this now, is wielding, W-I-E-L-D-I-N-G. It's wielding and subduing what's needed. That's wealth. Wealth is having control or having in your hands the resources you need to put them wherever they're needed. My God, just like health, wherever you need it in your body, wealth is having the in your hands the resources to put wherever you need it. If you need money and resources to go to the doctor, then I speak it into your life. I speak the resources needed to be able to go to the dentist. I speak the resources needed to get your car fixed. Peace be unto you, my brother, my sister. I speak the resources you need to get your house repaired. In the name of Jesus, I speak peace, the peace of God to you. I come against everything that would cause you to be upset, lose sleep, be out of control, be frustrated. I speak the peace of God. I exhort you, receive the peace that Jesus has left for you and I. The peace that only come from God. You cannot get this peace from the world. You can't get it from watching the news. You can't get it from playing video games. You can't get it from drugs and alcohol or anything like that. This peace, this shalom only comes from God. I want you to know there's no shortages in the kingdom. There's no food shortages in the kingdom of God. There's no shortage of peace in the kingdom of God. There is no shortages. I speak nothing missing in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is the King of the kingdom, let everything that you need begin to come into your life as you receive his peace. For you will keep them in peace, complete peace, whose mind is made up, whose mind cannot be changed. Don't let the world change your mind, my brother. Hallelujah. Don't let the world change your mind about who God is. Don't let the world change your mind, because you'll lose your peace and you'll lose your mind. You stay persuaded. So Philippians 4:6, and I'm closing in 7. Paul is talking again. He says, never worry about anything. Never worry about anything. I feel like running around this church. Never worry about anything, but in every situation, let God know what you need in prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. I'm telling you, some peace is about to come to you on another level. I'm telling everyone that's listening, you're about to grab some peace. You're about to have some peace that's going to blow your mind. You're not going to be able to explain how different you are tomorrow than you were today or yesterday, because the peace of God is coming into your life. What does Paul say? He says it's through prayers, supplication, and thanksgiving. What does he mean? Prayers here means talk to God about your problems. Talk to God about your needs. Stop getting online and telling everybody all you going through and people that can't help you and some folk that want you to go through it and think you a dirty dog anyway. Stop telling everybody else your problems and start talking to God about what you need. Tell God what's on your mind. Tell God what's on your heart. Tell God what you need. Tell him you're scared if you're scared and help you get rid of your fear. Tell him to heal you if you need healing. Tell him to forgive you of your sin if you're a sinner. But talk to God. It's time to talk to God, my brother and my sister. It's time to talk to God. Then Paul says, through supplications. You know what supplication here means? It means put energy and passion in your prayers. Don't just be talking to God like he's a rock in your driveway. Get some passion in what you're saying. Get some feeling in what you're saying. My God, if you really mean it, say, God, heal me. I need you to heal me. I'm tired of being in pain. I'm tired of listening to the doctors. I know you're a healer. Get some passion in what you need God to do for you. If you need some money, if they're about to cut off something and they shouldn't be, God, you know they shouldn't be cutting this off. I'm asking you because you're the only one that can help. I'm speaking this to you so you can have the peace of God in your life. And then last thing Paul says, he says, with thanksgiving. You got to thank him. Even before it happens, while God is doing it, thank him. You got to give him praise. And sometimes there's a thank offering. Sometimes you need to send an offering in and say, God, I know you're going to do this. I know you're going to do this. And I need your peace. So I'm sowing into the kingdom so you can give me the peace I need. This is what Paul is saying. Through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God is going to come. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to surpass your ability to understand. See, my brother and my sister, worrying, write this down. Please, write it down. I know, take a minute, calm down. I know Holy Ghost all over you. I know you crying. I know you shouting. Some of you roll around on the floor. I know you just, but let's write this down. Come on, write this. Last thing. Come on, let's. All right, here we go. Worrying is meditating on the problem. That's all worry is. You're meditating on what's wrong. Your focus is on what's wrong. That's why you don't have any peace. But prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving turns our focus toward God. That's what Paul is saying. Prayer, passionate pleading and talking to God and thanking him, turns our attention towards God. It turns our focus towards God. And it gets our minds back stayed on him. Speak it into your life. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. I want to pray one last prayer. I want to decree. I want to exhort you one last time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as God has been ministering by his Spirit through his word to you, I pray for supernatural tranquility, my Lord. My.
Yes, God.
Supernatural tranquility. Supernatural calmness, a quietness, even in your house, in your head and in your heart. It's calmed down now. Your blood pressure has gone down in the name of Jesus. Hypertension has gone down. Yes. The stiffness in your neck and your shoulders where the stress is carried, it's leaving in the name of Jesus. Supernatural calmness. A stillness is coming over you. You're no longer upset. You're no longer running to and fro. You're no longer going a mile a minute. There's a stillness that's come over you now. It's supernatural. It comes from God and God alone. And now you know, my brother. Now you know, my sister. The peace of God. If you keep your mind stayed on him.
you're not born again, ask Jesus to come into your life. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need peace. Peace in my soul. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I've spoken against you. I've lived life contrary to what the word says. I have no peace anywhere. And you're the only one that can give it, because you're called, one of your titles is the Prince of Peace. Save me. Save me from this sinful lifestyle and this sinful world that I have lived and supported. Change me from the inside out. Fill me with your spirit and cause me, like Paul, to know you in the power of your resurrection, in the fellowship of your suffering. I want to live for you. I want to build your kingdom. I've worked for Satan in the world long enough. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for giving me peace immediately through this prayer, becoming my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know you had to be blessed. I was blessed. Text us if you got saved. Text us, email us, let us know. And one thing you can also do is you can text your support to the number at the bottom of the screen. We need your support because we want to continue to spread this word and the gospel of the kingdom wherever we are able to do it. God bless you. Thank you for your love, your support, and your prayers. May the peace of God be yours. Amen. God bless you. Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.